Hey, it's time for Tech Talk number 27.
Okay.
I believe you.
We do that every week, and it's still funny. But we got lots of cool stuff to talk about. You've got your update. We've got stuff to look at. We've got
questions.
We got questions.
A box full of junk.
A great question from one of our viewers. And and if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room right this very second. Jeff Holman is in our chat room. And
that's the Facebook chat room.
That's right. And get those questions to us so we can answer them, because George and I love tech questions. That's what gets us going.
Sure do.
All right. All that and more coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive, from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
All righty, we're here for Tech Talk, our favorite thing to do, because you guys watch this stuff and digest it, and hopefully you guys listen to us.
And then we hear people tell us on the street, I watched your show, and now I'm using that mic, and my studio sounds amazing, and my act, I'm booking stuff left and right because I bought that mic.
Yeah.
Not what, really.
What I love is people recognizing me on the street and not here in L.A., like on a corner in like Carmel.
Wow. On vacation.
It's kind of fun. So there's obviously a lot of you out there watching it.
Right.
But there's a reason you guys watch, and that's because, and we're not doing this to blow our own horn here, but thank you.
Was that you?
George and I have more experience with home voiceover studios than anybody else on God's green earth. And even some of the brown patches too, especially here in Southern California. but it's probably a combined over 50 years experience doing all this.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Give or take a few years. But it's a unique environment, and you guys, want to learn how to do it properly. And the best way to do that is to make sure somebody who actually knows what it's supposed to sound like.
Whistle.
Thank you. Actually gets to hear what's going on in there and make sure that when you step up to the mic, all you have to do is hit record. And not worry about the tech.
Not to think about a million things and settings and knobs and plugins.
Because you don't really need any of that stuff. If you set the room up right in the first place by somebody who knows how it's supposed to be set up, look at the time and money you can save.
Yeah.
And that's what George and I do professionally, which is why we come to you every week or every other week with Tech Talk, giving you little tips and hints about how to do things, showing you a lot of stuff that you probably don't need. But it's fun to look at and fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But also the stuff that is actually quite simple and makes your life easier. Mm-hmm. And if you want to work with George, who has all sorts of services, how do you do that?
You can go over to georgethe.tech. It's got a menu of services and a scheduling system where you can book real-time consults, or I can just make you a little basic processing to polish up the audition a little bit, or design a studio from the ground up, or make an audiobook mastering workflow for you. Whatever it is, there's a lot of stuff on there. If you're overwhelmed, just email me on the contact page and we'll steer you in the right direction, because there's a lot of options on there, I know. Dan also does a lot of this tech stuff on his website, his home over at
homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yeah. I tell you what I do and how I do it, how I love going into people's houses, not just to go into their houses, but to actually see their studios.
And you like to root around in their closets, don't you?
I do. It's amazing some of the things I see in there. But making sure that you're in the environment to record properly and getting you set up properly so that you sound great and that your audio is not going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways you can do that, if you've already set one up, if you've already got the studio set up, and you want to hear if your audio is the way it should be, you can go to my specimen collection cup, which is at the bottom of my homepage. Click on that, $25. I will analyze your audio, and if I think you need some major help, I will let you know. If it's just little tiny things here or there, go, do this, do that, let me know, and then we can take it from there.
Yeah, and this isn't all just like, it's this number and this thing. It's not all about these, you know, numbers. It's knowing what it's supposed to sound like, because we've heard so many home studios, we know what things should sound like in context,
and right,
that's a lot of what that value is. And getting, I had that sound check, the it's a really valuable thing for you guys to know that what you're putting out there really is on par with where it should be.
Yeah, because by the way, you don't hire you.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it to satisfy your own ears, chances are
you might be off base sometimes.
You might be. Yeah. Let two guys who know what it's supposed to sound like listen to it, and yep, we'll let you know if it sounds right.
All right. That's enough of that.
Okay. Anyway, so what's in your tech update this week?
Honestly, I don't have a ton of new stuff to talk about because, you know, NAMM, the big music trade show, was a couple weeks ago. All the new stuff is announced. I did my video, blah, blah, blah. But because it's always coming up, and this piece of gear is so incredibly well marketed, and it just is in the constant conversation among my voiceover colleagues, I'll bring this up. The Universal Audio Apollo interface. People are being recommended it all the time. I know I've certainly done my share of doing so over the last 5 years or so. But I recommend it with some serious caveats. And so I just really wanted, for people that watch the show and hear us talk about it, at some point we are going to actually record some audio with it and demonstrate it along with a whole bunch of interfaces. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let me just tell you a few caveats of situations that you probably should avoid. If you have the money and you're ready to upgrade, maybe not this, maybe this isn't the right thing for you per se. And these are the few things to watch out for. One is, and don't flame me for this, but I'm going to say it. If you're on Windows, you don't want to get the Apollo yet. I know they have a USB version, which was designed specifically for Windows. And then there's a Thunderbolt 3 version, which supposedly works on Windows. Just for right now, avoid it, because the drivers are just, they're just not up to speed yet. You know, this, like some other softwares that we all know and systems, it was really designed around the Mac platform first and foremost. They obviously focused the vast majority of their R&D and time on that.
Right.
And Windows was late to the party, the support. And so it's not well fleshed out. Certain things don't work at all or are weird, like the fact that you can't get audio into Chrome. And that kills it for people using IPDTL, Source Connect Now, things like that. There's just still major issues. So I would avoid Universal Audio Apollo if you're a diehard Windows user. Two, if you're not doing... So one of the things that the Apollo does is it has this ability to have processing real-time or front-end processing so that when you're recording, it's going through a chain of different things. It's kind of... It's actually new tech recreating a retro way of doing things. So that's kind of what's going on. We've been saying for years, it's better to record dry and process and post.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, because once it's on there, It's on there forever.
It's printed that way for good. So unless you're doing a lot of like very time sensitive live directed stuff on Source Connect and IPDTL, ISDN for those 10 of you that are still using that for some bizarre reason, studios that still use that. There are some situations where that front end processing can be definitely to your advantage. That's because you're sending out audio, streaming it to a studio, and you want to give them something that's a little bit more polished up than just the raw audio for different reasons. One, because maybe you need it for your studio to sound as clean or as quiet as it should. Maybe you need it because the studio on the other end doesn't know what the hell they're doing. And if you don't send it to them cleaned up and or like sweetened, it's going to sound like garbage on the air. Almost every affiliate station in the entire U.S. is like has that problem. So that's a reason. But for how many people is that in voiceover?
It's such a small, even smaller than that.
It's a really
the
small
people that do it are people who are established. They are required to have it, but you don't have it to get work. You work your way up to have it. So having it at that expense, the return on investment is not going to be there right up front.
And my last reason why not to maybe get the Apollo is that you are kind of technically challenged, but you kind of like to just figure it out. You are going to go down the deepest, horrible, dark rat hole trying to learn how to do some basic features with this thing. And if you you may end up buying it and never make it past the absolute basic thing that it does, you may not even be able to figure out how to get the headphones to work. So it's it's complicated to set up. I've set them up. I definitely have it dialed. I know how to design and set this thing up. So if you've heard all of this and you're going, I still really want one, then let me know. I can set you up. But really, I would avoid it. So if you're probably people on Windows are probably, well, what should I get then? And that's something I want to answer in a quantitative way.
Okay.
Wait, which is it? Qualitative or quantitative?
Well, quantitative would be in you know, enumerated fashion. And qualitative would be like, this is better than that.
Maybe it's qualitative.
Okay.
We want to answer that qualitatively. And one way we want to do that is by comparing a whole bunch of audio interfaces.
Right.
This is a big project. We got Dan and I got to make some time. It's not something we're going to do live on the show because it's dreadfully boring.
Yeah.
But we want to shoot out the Apollo against stuff as expensive as the Apollo, right, like the Audient ID22, the Apogee Duet, things like this, and as lowly as the Steinberg UR12.
Which is a great unit.
And we have a pile, actually.
Yeah, here we go.
This is just stuff. This is just what was on my shelf at home. This is a new UR12. It's ready to go in somebody's studio someday. The Tascam UH7. Is that the UH7000? Yeah, the UH7000.
I want to try this.
Highly obscure, but kind of interesting. And then some old classics like the Avid M-Box 3 Mini, which is 10 years old, maybe?
Yeah.
So we're not only going to be comparing like
it's
price.
It's growing. You have to shave it now. It's
spider legs.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah. Dead spider. this is for you, Ella. My daughter hates spiders. Anyway, we're going to compare things in different price ranges and things of different generations. So, like, again, things that are 10 years old versus something that's maybe 3 years old versus we'll have the mixer face.
Ooh.
Is in the little bag here, a mixer face. That's cutting edge tech for sure. And, of course, the Apollo I mentioned. Maybe an old Apogee 1.
Which is a great unit.
So we're just going to try an experiment. Years ago, Dan and I did like this super duper mic shootout, and it's been hugely popular on YouTube.
It has.
Hugely. So many people mention, hey, that guy, I love his voice, man. That guy's voice is awesome.
What's not to love?
So the plan is we're going to, at some point, do a sort of a systematic and boring test where we set up Dan in the studio on the same mic and just enter, and we're going to plug each one in. Same script, same mic placement, one by one. And we're just going to try to listen to these things. And are we hearing any measurable or noticeable audibly different? We're not measuring anything, guys. This is going to be completely done by ear. We're just going to listen to them and see what makes a difference.
Right, because that's really all we're thinking about. And the funny thing is that different things sound different to different people.
Yeah.
When we did that mic shootout, everybody's like, was saying, oh, you sound great on
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, because no, we invite on that comments, mic. So we get tons of comments about what people think is the best sounding mic.
Right. And somebody I respect said, you sound great on the Bluebird. Or this is the baby bottle.
Is that the baby bottle?
That's a baby bottle. Yeah.
The blue and, baby bottle?
Yeah. And I went out and bought one.
Yeah.
And as you see, it's not in my studio.
It's out here, but it sounds here, good on everybody.
Yeah. And in a large podcast, webcast type of situation. You'll notice we don't use lavalier mics on here or, you know, RE20s like they do on a lot of podcasts because everybody likes to sound like they're on the radio.
Yeah. We're not trying to sound like we're on the radio.
No, we're trying to sound like Dan and George, yeah. Which is who we are.
So we're going to have fun with that. That's coming up. If you have a specific interface that is on your mind, if you want to send it to us, go for it. But this is going to be literally stuff from our own personal collection of stuff, which is pretty sizable.
It's starting to pile up.
This is just what was
up.
On my shelf at home. Yeah,
yeah, I got a few, too.
Dan's got a few, too. Yeah, Rode AI-1, yeah. Apollo Twin. I mentioned that we'll get the new Audient EVO 4 or EVO 4 in the mix, probably. Scarlet.
All sorts of cool stuff. I think the point about, because you were talking about the Apollo.
I digressed.
Yes. Well, yeah, you jumped ahead there, but that's fine because I can roll this back to where we need to be. The thing about the Apollo is, don't get us wrong, it is an amazing unit. It is becoming an industry standard in the music business, in voiceover. Yeah. Again, and we say this all the time, all of this stuff was never designed or even conceived of for being used in voiceover. We're just borrowing this technology because it gives us the ability to take our analog voice that comes through a microphone and into a digital interface, gets turned into ones and zeros, and printed on your digital audio workstation in something that we can understand, that we can visually see.
You know, and the technology behind the parts inside the box that makes all that stuff happen, believe it or not, there's very few companies that actually make that little chip. Texas Instruments is one. There's a couple, maybe two or three.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of commonalities inside the box between them all. So there are almost no differences.
Right. So it's just ones and zeros. So if you get an expensive interface like an Apollo Twin, the reason people tend to refer to that one or recommend it is because they're recording engineers and they like the plugins and they do all these things after things are recorded because they are producing complete tracks using your voice, music, sound effects, all these things, stuff that you don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's what those plugins are for. They're not for cleaning up your audio. You do that physically in your studio. You get the cleanest possible sound you can from your acoustics, so there's no sound coming in, there's no sound bouncing around, and you're using proper mic technique and you're setting proper levels. The rest of it, you keep hearing people recommend these stuff on all these websites and all these forums. It is irrelevant to voiceover. It's geekiness. If you like new and shiny and you like stuff that's looks cool, it has nothing to do with how you read copy.
Yeah. Well, we've heard that one before, haven't we?
We're in the middle of writing a long article about this that you will read and you will listen to.
I think I'm as much interested in hearing the difference between something maybe that's 10 years old and something that's brand new, too.
Really?
I think that's going to be interesting.
That could be very interesting.
Yeah, it's how long we've been doing this. I've never done this shootout. This is something that's been years, literally years in the making.
Yeah.
Collecting files of stuff.
Leave me that task, Cam. I want to try that one.
You got it.
All right.
Anyway, so that's happening. We'll have the Vanguard V4 microphone in here soon. Or actually, it is in here. Dan's working on a review of that, right?
Yes.
Which we mentioned from the NAMM show. We saw that. So there's stuff coming up. I just hang tight. So let's probably get to the questions after a break.
I think we'll take a break and we'll do that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with your questions and more stuff right here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey, everybody, it's time to talk about Source Elements. You know who they are, the creators of Source Connect, that tool that you don't have. What? You don't have it? You should have it. It's that tool that allows you to connect your studio to other studios around the world so they can record you from your booth. It's a tool you should have because even if you're not being asked for it now, you might be asked for it tomorrow or in a month or in a year. You want to have it ready to go and know how to use it. It's really the heir apparent to ISDN technology, and it is definitely what the pros are using. You can go ahead and sign up for a 15-day free trial of Source Connect over at sourceelements.com. Get it up and running. Get your iLock account in order. There's a little video on there. I'll teach you how to do it by yours truly. And it'll help you get up and running so you can understand how it all works. Then that day that you get the gig, you can activate the license. It's a no-brainer. Give it a try. Thanks for your support, Source Elements. And we'll see you right after this break.
Hey, you know what this thing is? This is a Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus, and this is the carry bag that it comes in. You know, spring break is coming up, and if you're going to be on the road, you're going to want to have one of these to make sure that you can record nice and quiet and with no echo on the road. And right now, our viewers can save $10 on the Portabooth Plus travel bag and $5 on their three-way adjustable desktop stand. Both exclusive VoiceOver Essential exclusive products. Spring break is coming up, so make sure you have one of these. This is a must-have for your traveling studio. Thanks, VoiceOver Essentials and Harlan Hogan, for being our sponsor for almost 9 years. Go get one of these babies.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. And we've got questions from our audience out there. They pile in here because they want to hear it from the oracles.
And I'm glad that they do.
That's right.
Because, man, we need stuff to talk about, guys.
That's true. Yeah. And you guys ask the questions. That's how we can riff on this and make sure that you get the right answer. First question we got tonight is from Thomas Machen.
Oh, he's referring to the box full of things.
The box full of things.
This is a little inside joke, but he's saying, is there a Sennheiser mic in it? Haha. The reason he asked me that is I've had his Sennheiser MK4 digital mic for a year.
Yeah, you might want to send it back to him.
Sorry, Tom. I'm sorry, man. It's been sitting by my door.
There are several boxes of things like this in his house. So
I'm sorry. I suck. I apologize. It is going. It's going to go back to you this week. I'm going to say it here on the air. That way I have to do it. John Ketron says, what's the must-have gadget for voiceovers?
A microphone? Gadget.
Do people use stopwatches anymore?
I occasionally do. But I've got it on my watch.
Yeah. Watch, you know, or my iPhone. I don't know. An on-the-air light? Maybe, like, if you're trying to get your house to, a light on a switch. Like a remote control, just like a wireless switch like you use for your Christmas tree lights,
right,
or something.
Yeah.
Put a light out in the hall. It's a weird color. And when it's on, it means shut up.
Right. Or get a Harlan Hogan voiceover recording light.
Or the voiceover recording light.
Which we have, in the studio here. And you can program that to different colors saying, like I'm recording. You can walk in.
Yeah.
Of course, the most important thing I have in this studio is a big sign on the front that says knock.
which in this studio you can knock, and because he's going to be in the other room in the booth.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, some way to, if you have family or anybody else in your house, that can be handy, a way to notify them. One of my clients, actually, we just put this like a unique lamp with a blue light bulb on it. And we just put one in like each of the, like one in the kids' room.
Right.
And one in like the master, because they're below in this apartment. And so he hits the remote in his booth and they both turn on and they know dad's recording.
Just like at a regular radio station.
Yeah,
keep it on down. The air.
Yeah, so that I would say, doesn't sound that glamorous, but
yeah,
you wanted to know.
It looks cool.
I can't think of other than all the usual stuff we talk about constantly. Those are the biggies. A dog clicker.
We've got a couple of those.
If you want to do the record click, mark your mistakes with a click, a loud click, a $3 dog clicker.
We used to have the VoiceOver nice Body Shop clickers. Sending all over the world.
Time to maybe do a run
of
those.
Import documents to send them to Canada.
Maybe we should do a run of those again for the OPM. Collector's item.
Still have a couple of those left.
Yeah.
What are other things? Well, you know, because we say the primary things you need to deal with are your acoustics, mic technique, and setting proper levels. So how do you do all those things, and what's a gadget to do that? A microphone, a good interface. Not a cheap interface, but not a really expensive one. It's nice and shiny. It has a little, as we were just saying, all the things that are on there.
What not to buy? How about what gadget not to buy?
Come up with a pile of those.
A reflection filter.
A reflexion filter.
Any of those things that go around the mic or on the mic mostly are crappy.
Yeah. I mean, if you want an eyeball, just go to a conference. They're giving them away all the time. So, you know, it's... I like Uncle Roy's suggestion for that. Stuff socks in it. Or a bagel. That worked pretty well, too.
Rob Ryder says, hey, gentlemen, here's one for George.
Okay.
Everything special.
Well, I'll just go over here for a while.
You can go into rest mode. Just kidding. I heard you say a while back that you didn't particularly care for the U87 AI. Why not?
It depends.
Because every time I hear it, it doesn't sound good as is, I find. It always needs some EQ to sound, to me, not nice.
And those are just your ears.
Yeah, and that's a $3,000 mic that you need, doesn't sound particularly flattering or nice on many voices. This is anecdotal, just whatever, but...
The thing is it's not designed to be used in a closet.
No, and it was designed, honestly, to be like an orchestral room mic, like a mic that's...
In a concert
in room. A huge space up on stands, or they've been used for anything you can imagine. I've seen them on drums. I've seen them on everything. But the using it for voiceover, I don't know when that started. It was a New York thing, mostly. It's only because it costs $3,000 that I think I'm like so anti the mic. Because there's just so many darn good options for less than that nowadays. But it's a kind of a holy grail mic, I guess. It also, it's because it's so incredibly sensitive, and the cardioid pattern on it is still very, very wide. It picks up so
everything.
Much stuff you don't want it to pick up. Your booth has to be exquisitely well tuned. And the high pass filter on it is basically not usable. It's a weird frequency that the high pass filter. It's like, I think it's like 150 hertz or something, and then it starts rolling off. It just doesn't make sense for what most voice actors actually need. So there you go. That's enough, I think.
Okay.
Cool Niblet. George recommended a Rode NTG3, and my question is, with a 416 costing roughly 300-ish more than the NTG3, last I checked it was 600-ish more, actually.
Yeah.
Would it be worth it to fork out the extra dough and get the 416? So the NTG3 is roughly $300. The 416, not stolen or on eBay, is going to be $900, $800 to $1,000.
I'm seeing them on eBay for under $600.
Yeah, if you buy it on eBay, buy it from someone who's really reputable, or from a retailer with a return policy, because there actually were a batch of
Chinese.
Very, very good knockoffs that were incredibly convincing.
BSW
$7.99. Oh, BSW has
Santa
that
Joe.
Santa Joe coupon. There's a Santa Joe coupon on BSW for a discount on the 416. You know, when I recommend things that aren't the 416, it's mainly just to save money, right? So it's for people that want a second mic, or that jump to a 416's cost is just prohibitive. Then I'm going to recommend things like the NTG3, the NTG4. Oh, you know what? You're right. The price difference is, I'm sorry, I got my model numbers mixed up. The NTG3 is roughly $699. I'm thinking of the 4, the NTG4. The NTG3 and the 416 are similar looking, but sound totally different. I don't know if you've ever really tried them together, but I've heard them. The NTG3 is much more warm, like lower end has more low end richness, and then it's flatter at the top. That's actually a really nice mic on many women's voices.
It's not a sibilant.
Yeah, it's smoother. It doesn't have a sibilance peak that the 416 has, but the 416 is that cut through the mix, you know, sound. And they're very, very different mics. So the answer is they sound different. So if you can do like an A-B test and get a borrow them or buy both and return one, so you can hear how that sounds with your voices, your needs in your studio.
Right.
Then you can make a judgment call. But they are dramatically different sounding. It's not subtle. They're different.
Yeah. Well, that gets me into a question we got this week from a guy by the name of Mike Gordon. I'll paraphrase.
This is a whole story, folks.
This is a whole story. This is a guy he's 70 years old, spent time in the Navy with learning Navy electronics. He's been there, done that. Yeah, it was in the broadcasting business. He's been homeless. He's currently has cancer. And they said he has only a few years to live, but I think he's probably doing better than that. So he's like 70 years old. He says, I wanted to do something different with my life, and I wanted to do voiceover.
Oh.
And without knowing about us, he has a Rode NT1A, a complete audio 6DI.
Good basic setup.
Yeah, started practicing, and he's been doing all these things. He's doing some inspirational stuff. And then somebody suggested he watch our show and listen to a couple of things we said about mic placement and all these things. And he had terrible sibilance trouble. He took the couple of things that we told him and now he sounds great. Then he asks about, he sends me 4 pieces of audio, different microphones, different setups. He says, which one's best? And I listened to all of them. The guy sounds great on all of them. No, does it sound slightly more echoey on one and then the other? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
The point is that it's not the microphone and it's not the interface.
They're all different shades of mauve, by the way.
Exactly.
You're picking colors.
Yeah.
They're almost all.
Yeah. I mean, it's an inspiring story, but the fact is that you can't obsess about the equipment. It's not the equipment that gets you work. It's your ability to be a good voice actor and your ability to interpret copy and not, well, as we like to say, it's not a matter of sounding good. I used to say the idea of your home studio is not to sound great. It's to make you sound like you.
Right.
And the addendum to that is, and you don't want to sound good. You don't want to sound bad. And it's so much easier to sound bad than it is to sound good. Because you cut corners, or your acoustics are wrong, or you're over modulating, or you're not using the mic, you're talking right into it, and you know that sort of thing.
Yeah,
which we hear an awful lot of. Although my favorite still is, why does my mic sound so muffled? Because you're talking into the wrong side.
Do that again, because I didn't have that mic on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why does my mic sound muffled?
Yeah, that was a good example.
And a good example, because amazingly, and this happened last week at my son's studio where they were recording over there. And it's like, Dad, it sounds, why does it sound so echoey and muffled? I'm like, turn the mic around and it makes a huge difference, which is why this microphone just makes me sound sweet. The other way, it makes me sound like I'm on the other side of the room. So
it's pointing at you. Yeah.
But although, and that's sort of like, why does it sound like I'm talking into my computer? Because you are.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, but Mike, we're real glad that you wrote to us, and we wish you luck. And don't worry about the microphone. It's not the microphone. Your voice is great. You got a great delivery, and that's all that matters. And you don't sound bad.
Mm-hmm. Couple more from Thomas Machen. If you use two brands and models of mics like Paul does, one to capture dialogue and the other for efforts, will there be a detectable difference?
To who?
Yeah, I mean, how different do they actually sound, Paul? When you have to, do you ever do that, and do you ever edit them together?
Let me point this mic that way.
We actually, Dan and I, we shot them out, and we could barely notice a difference between the two. Yeah. I mean,
I rest my case.
Exactly. Different functionality. I mean, one's a different cardioid, you know, diaphragm microphone. And
same room.
Yeah, same room. So that's it.
Yeah. There you go. So he can intercut them pretty closely, and it works fine. Especially if you're using one for really loud reads and screaming, the sound of your voice is so dramatically different that if the mic sounded different, it wouldn't matter anyway.
That's right.
Two different almost sources.
Right. And with a 416, you use it two different ways. If you're doing promo work, you do it up close and you back off the volume a little bit. It really is great for if you're doing, you know, lots of choking and puking, or, you know, as they like to say, you know, trying to sound like the voice of God.
Right.
It's a great microphone for that. But nobody's asking for that unless you're doing promo.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they just want you to sound like you, in which case you 416, you know, 30-degree angle, aim towards your chest, and you're fine.
Yeah, that's a good job. Another quickie from Thomas. Last time George and I spoke, we agreed to avoid 0.0 versions. What does that mean? It means like version 13.0 just came out. Let's rush and go and install that. That is still true. It will be true for the end of time. The version that the first X version dot anything 13.0, you know, Catalina .0, 15.0, whatever it was. Bad idea. That hasn't changed.
Is it time to go to Catalina on my Mac Mini? It keeps asking me to do it.
I know it does.
And I'm like, George hasn't given the green light on it yet. So
Audacity still doesn't work.
People that are buying new Macs that already have Catalina and it's on, I think it's 0.3 version now.
Yeah.
It's been fine. I don't know anybody directly with a brand new Mac that is running Catalina that is having any particular problems.
Okay.
Upgrading to Catalina, there's a lot more little hurdles sometimes. So, you know, make sure you back up and have a clone or a Time Machine copy and some free time. Before you just plunge into it.
And I'm like, I'm going to bed. And next morning, it's there.
Yeah.
I almost never have
people on Windows are used to that. Yeah. They wake up every morning and every Wednesday. Actually, every Wednesday morning. I know, I'm jabbing the Windows. You wake up every Wednesday morning and there's a new version of Windows on your computer. Petrus Ryan says, Arg. Recently, I got the USB Apollo twin for Windows.
Oh, well. Ouch. Sorry to hear that.
I'm waiting on the TLM-103 to arrive. That's our next mic. Recommended interface to go to instead. I was just going to get the 2i2 before my boyfriend insisted on something more expensive.
Her boyfriend must be a musician.
Yeah, probably an engineer musician. So, I know I teased it at the beginning of the show and didn't really answer it. I kind of deflected it by saying we're going to test some stuff. Honestly, I've had a client who recently went with an Apollo on Windows. It was a headache. Went to RME Babyface because they heard it was really good. It was too complicated, made her head explode. Then I said, get a Scarlett. A Steinberg. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been the UR22. I can't remember. Or the 12, one of those. Happy as a clam. It was a month journey of frustration for her. And in the end, getting the least expensive, simplest, straightforward thing sounded good and became a problem solver. So I'm going to recommend the Scarlett, maybe the Gen 3 now. Or the Steinberg UR12. I'm still going to recommend this.
She says, the sales dude at Banjo Emporium, thank you for using
it. Obviously.
Clearly, insisted the Scarlett 2i2 would diminish the capabilities of the TLM-103.
There was a time these old interfaces, maybe that was really a thing. That's a thing to sell new gear and mic preamps. That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah. And the guys at Banjo Emporium,
guess what their job is?
They're musicians and their job is to sell stuff
more
to musicians.
Stuff.
Don't ever go in there. Dan's number one rule of retail, never walk into Banjo Emporium.
Yeah.
without knowing what you want. Never ask, well, what would be good for me? They don't know, and they have no idea what's going on.
It's like wandering
onto
a used car lot and saying, what's the best car today?
Oh, well, I have an Alfonso di Credenza here. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Alfonso di Credenza. Oh, my God. Fred North is using an Audient something or other, didn't say, with my 103 and my 416. It's a great pairing.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm glad, Fred, that's working out well for you. I'm going to go fast because we thankfully got a ton of questions. Next one up is Tim Kelly.
Hi, guys. I'm getting intermittent clicks on playback from a 2i2 second gen. It's like a tiny voltage click. It spits now and again. Cables are fine. I tried different USB cables. Also have to buffer in the highest in Audition. Thanks. I'll bet I find it's a 5200 RPM hard drive. I'm finding that over and over again, that the hard drive's not fast enough, that any one of these units should be fine. And if you're getting that type of stuff, it's the computer, not the interface.
Typically, yeah. I mean, I had a client today who had a clicking issue as well, but it was in the recordings, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And he had a decent MacBook Pro with a SSD and everything. Yeah. And in his case, I just said, maybe it is the interface. It's an inexpensive thing to test by replacing. But if it's on playback, it's definitely not in the recording. It's on playback. Yeah.
No, that's a different one.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it could be the hard drive, but it could be the interface. It's, again, it's a cheap thing to test.
Yeah.
These are not expensive pieces of gear. You can get one from Amazon and rent one from Amazon.
Yeah. You know, borrow one from a friend. Just changing the interface, and if it does it with it, then it's not the interface.
Yeah. Process elimination.
Yeah. Let's go on to Hunter Peterson here.
Hey, guys. How would you go about cleaning up a signal from an interference from power cords? Just separating the XLR cable, or is there a better shielding option?
Generally not a problem with condenser mics.
It's pretty rare that it happens, but
if you got ribbon mics or something and you're setting up with, black and white, broadcast of some sort. But
yeah, we don't know what kind of interference he's referring to. He's saying RFI.
He's saying electrical interference. Yeah, really, that
MFI.
Could be
MFI. There could be so radio frequency would be like literally something bleeding in from the outside, like some radio station.
Well, he's saying from power cords specifically. Yeah. So generally that's
cross
not
them at an X always. Yeah. Like if you have a mic cable and a power cord, never keep them parallel ever.
Right.
Have them cross like this and you won't, it's, that will eliminate the picking up. That's called induction. So like when there's power running on this wire, there's another one running alongside it. This one can pick up the power actually in the other. It's a magnetic thing.
Right.
And so that's where you can get some humming or buzzing.
Right. But generally with an XLR cable, it's a balanced cable. There's usually no interference on it.
There are cables with more shielding. What do they call it? Star quad or something like that?
Yeah.
They have a better shielding on them. If you have a real major issue, you could try that.
And move away from the AM radio station transmitter that you're talking next to, which will do it.
Yeah, no, having a really good mic cable can sometimes get rid of interference.
Yeah,
it can. Bill Russell, help!
Bill.
I thought I set up
Bill Russell, always saying help, like Bill. He is in our intro.
I know. Exactly. I thought I set up the latency in my system to stop artifacting. I'm still getting artifact clicks, another clicking problem person. And I forgot how to change the latency to prevent artifacts. Help. Is there a quick help? Nope. And there's not, because Bill, you didn't tell us any relevant information at all.
What interface?
Shame on you. Moving on. No soup for you.
Give us details. You know, and it's amazing what people say.
We're being hard on Bill.
Yeah, because we love him anyway.
But still, you got to give us more
details. It's like, system, computer, what mic you're using, what interface. All these things, it's not like all things being equal, they're not.
I'm sure we'll see them pop up in the chat room shortly. Yeah. Rob Ryder, thanks for the response about the U87. Wow, we're getting like responses to the questions from earlier. That's
all right, good. Excellent.
I certainly agree about the high pass filter. I actually use my 87 in a 13 by 17 foot room. Wow, that's nice.
By 17 foot room.
Oh, yeah. But I do have a baffle off the back side of the mic. Okay. And I do have to admit that my Sennheiser MK4 sounds just as good, and it only costs $300.
It's almost disheartening.
It shouldn't be. Stop reading these forums and stuff. Microphone. As long as it's a good microphone, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I understand it's disheartening. I get that a lot where people buy a really expensive stuff and then I tell them it's not that stuff and then they get frustrated. Or the worst was people that get Pro Tools, invest in Pro Tools, learn Pro Tools, and then I convince them to not use it. And they're like, but I learned it and I bought it, and but it's given me all these problems. And I'm like, you know what the answer is. You just won't listen. I know it's frustrating, but it's true. It's the hard truth.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a matter of people, as you like to say, we keep teaching each other all these sayings. Yours is, don't crowdsource your home voiceover studio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, what's the best microphone? What should I do? And there are a couple of forums out there, and you and I just look at it and go, you're not listening, guys. Stop. It's not the equipment. And people recommending equipment are recommending equipment that works well for them, for their voice in their studio. And it's irrelevant to you in your closet because every room is different, every voice is different, and it doesn't matter. And the one that you borrowed from me that you keep using is, you don't hire you.
You don't hire you. Last one, and then we can wrap this up. It's been a marathon of questions.
It has. It's great. We love it,
guys. Energizing. What are good DAWs, digital audio workstations, for iPad?
Oh, that's
just getting into voiceover, and I'll be setting up my interface into an iPad for practice.
Let me grab my iPad here.
While my wife has the laptop. So the wife's got a laptop, and you got the iPad. How's that being for being born under a bad sign?
You could always buy another computer.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a $300, dare I say, PC or even a 5-year-old MacBook is really a better tool for what we're doing than an iPad. The software on iPad, there are some. They're either overly complicated or they're under-featured. And this is, I've tried a lot of things. They either have, they're trying to cram the features of it, get a super complicated Pro Tools-like program into an iPad, and you're doing it all with your finger, which doesn't always work very well. Or there's Twisted Wave for iPad, which is pretty darn good until you try to use it every day, all day, and then you'll start to become very, you'll lose patience for the fact that there's no actual operating system or file system where you can easily move files around. You can't easily do certain things that are just you take for granted on a computer. But here's Twisted Wave on the iPad. It's it looks like that.
And it's super duper simple.
It looks eerily like the desktop version.
It is.
And it works similarly. The interface is, of course, touch, so it's got some real differences. It's lacking this stacking feature, which is nice if you want to have a couple little polishing presets for certain audition type work. So that's a little annoying. But at the end of the day, for $10, Twisted Wave on iPad is pretty much the winner. And it will be until something else comes along that dethrones it, I think.
Right. Well, you've got to have the interface that will work, you know, on a new iPad with a, you know, a Thunderbolt cable or a lightning cable.
This reminds me of a huge pet peeve.
Oh, I'm glad I brought it up then.
On iOS. And this isn't just iPad, it's anything iOS, iPhones, iPad. There is no interface selection function in anything on the iPad. So when you hit record, it's a complete freaking crapshoot. What's going to record? Is it going to record the mic on the phone or the iPad? Or is it going to record the mic that you plugged in?
Yeah. I had to deal with that the other day because I was setting somebody up on an iPad.
Yeah.
She was recording in a closet and she wanted it simple. She wanted to be able to read the copy and just have it there.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. And when she plugged in an Epigee mic, wouldn't work.
Didn't recognize it.
Had to go in and download different a firmware update for the mic.
Oh, man.
But once we did it,
then it worked.
It just, you know, you plug it in and it becomes a default thing.
Original Apogee mic broke and then they had to do a firmware update to work on a newer iOS, blah blah blah. It's frustrating when it doesn't actually detect, and every single time you record you have to double check maybe Yep, it's that mic. Because it's you just the don't
scratch
know
on it, and it's make sure you get it right. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's I'm spent.
Boy, but here's the thing, guys. I mean, just asking these questions, the ones that have to do with why doesn't this work and why should I use this, that we thrive on that. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, convincing you to keep it simple and not knock yourselves out with got to get the best mic. Because the best mic is going to make your room sound like a really big room. And the more sensitive the mic, the more the imperfections of the room you're in become apparent. And that's when everybody's like, well, I have a U87. Now I got to use all this, you know, all these filters and stuff like that. It picks up every mouth click, even ones I'm not making. They're coming from people next door. You know, and so you got to use all this software to fix that. And it's like, do it right up front.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's enough. I think George's brain is actually beginning to bleed from all this.
And literally, I have a client who's chomping at the bit, who paid for the rush fee to talk to me in 5 minutes. So we got to wrap this up.
So let's wrap this up. We'll be right back to wrap this up right after this.
And you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
What question do we get most often? Far and away, it's, how do I even get started in voiceover? And we have a great answer to that question. Take the VOHeroes.com free Getting Started in VO course. You heard right, it's free. And it's available online 24/7 at GettingStartedInVO.com. That's GettingStartedInVO.com. If you've been watching VOBS and thinking that you need to get in gear and start your own voiceover career, this is the course you should start with. You'll learn about the vocal skills you need, the storytelling skills you need, the equipment you need, the business skills you need, and the mindset you need to have, all in one single comprehensive online course taught by VO Heroes David H. Lawrence XVII. This course won the Backstage Reader's Choice Award 4 years in a row. And again, there's no charge. It's absolutely free. Want to take it? Of course you do. GettingStartedInVO.com. That's GettingStartedInVO.com.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. Voiceover Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
.tv. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Wow, that was a lot of stuff.
Man, I think we talked louder and louder as the night went on.
I know, because we were getting angry. It's like we're like trying to kill our own business by telling people don't do this and don't do that. But we're still here. So
I was trying to make more money. That you need to run Pro Tools, and you know you need the Apollo Twin, and you need this 7 different plugins.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm glad I've worked you in properly since I got here. Okay. You know, it costs a little bit of money to do this show.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all this equipment, and we have a director and professional staff. Well, somewhat. We need to maintain those sorts of things, and we really appreciate the donations that we get from people. And it's easy to donate. If you go to our homepage, vobs.tv, and there's a donate now button, mm-hmm. you can set up, like NPR. They do it every season. they got a much bigger budget than we do.
Yeah.
You can go there, and we have people that have actually donated this week. And who are they?
Christy Burns, Michael Kearns, Mike Gordon, Harlow Rodriguez, 949 Designs. Hey, that's Lee Penny.
Lee Penny.
Martha Kahn and Shauna Pennington Baird.
All righty. Hey, we want you to show us your booths. Now, this week, I thought this would make a great background for what we were talking about, because this is what we were talking about.
Exactly. It looks like Twisted Wave.
Yes, it is Twisted Wave. Oh. So send us a picture of your booth in landscape, not portrait.
All right.
Yeah, the world is not in
we
portrait.
We haven't quite decided to show up on TikTok yet.
What is TikTok? I'm getting old.
All you need to know right there.
Okay. Yeah, but I know by next week my mom's going to be using it, and she's 89 years old. So
it's true.
Anyway, send us your pictures of your booth. Send them to theguys@vobs.tv.
Mm-hmm.
Which Sue will now put up right now. And there's our email address. Also, if you want to be in our audience here to attend all this stuff live and maybe ask questions or make rude comments, you can by writing to that same address and say, hey, when are you doing the show? I'm going to be in the greater Los Angeles area as opposed to the lesser Los Angeles area. You can come join us here and be in the show live, which would be just great. We need to thank our sponsors, by the way, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements,
VOHeroes.com,
VoiceActorWebsites.com,
and J. Michael Collins Demos.
All righty. Hey, we also need to thank the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the betterment of live and recorded web and podcasting. And, of course, Sue Merlino, our amazing technical director, who is dead on tonight. She got it done.
Yep. Jeff Holman, who's stepping into the seat for
Social
Room
Media
Mod.
Great job tonight.
Thank you.
Stepped right in, and those questions were there, and that's what we need.
Yep. And Lee Penny.
For being Lee Penny.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We're going to have another great guest next week, so stay tuned for the announcement of who that's going to be, because it could be anybody. But we'll find out then. Anyway, just remember, if it sounds good,
it is good.
All righty. Well, I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Yes. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you not in September, but in late February.